Hi, Misty Phillip here, and welcome to another episode of By His Grace. On this podcast, I like to give room and space for women to share their stories and their struggles and to find out how God has helped them to see them through. Today, I have a special treat for you. My guest is Rachel Daniel. Rachel, welcome to the By His Grace podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So I want you to introduce yourself to the listeners.
Okay. My name, like you said, is Rachel Daniel. I am first and foremost a mother and a wife. I write for my blog called Brave Pursuit, and I'm just a mom. That's what I do. And I try to share and encourage women along the way.
Well, and you're also a worship leader at your church. Yes. And you're not just a mom. You are all kinds of things. You're a wife, you're a mom. And today we're going to talk about one of your struggles as a wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that's been burning in me to share with women is, and not just women, with all people, with all couples, is struggles in marriage.
Yeah.
And I know that that's been a topic you've shared recently on your podcast, and that's a very big passion of mine. And one of the area that I like to speak into is being married to mental illness. And because my husband has a mental disability known as a mood disorder, and or some people qualify it as bipolar disorder. And so that's something that we live and deal with on a daily basis.
Wow. Well, I would love to know more. Tell me what that's like.
So this was not a diagnosis that we had in our marriage when we got together and when we got married. When we became a couple, we faced a lot of hardships. I like to jokingly tell people, but in all seriousness, we did not hit the honeymoon phase of our marriage right away. I think it was kind of, we had all the hard stuff and the rough stuff happen first in the first few years.
I can totally relate to that. So if anybody knows my my history and my story with my husband, I can completely identify with that. And hopefully there's not any mental illness involved. I don't think there is. 26 years later, I don't think there is, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it was a journey. And I tell people, you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there's no way we should have made it out of the first 3 years of our marriage. Yeah. It was incredibly difficult, very trying, you know, and it was just very hard. There were a lot of, there were some good moments, but there was a lot of difficult moments. And that's looking back on that, that's a hard thing to say about someone that you are passionate about, somebody you care about my best friend. And so, you know, I don't think we really hit that honeymoon phase until about 4 or 5 years in, and we had already had kids. So I love talking about, you know, the fact that we had to, you know, go through this and understand. And the process that we got through it is we were struggling in our marriage, and we got to a point where we thought it was the end. We thought there was, you know, divorce on the horizon. We had talked about it numerous times, and that's not what we wanted for either one of us, but we didn't know how to live together. And so we began seeing a counselor. We just tried it. We're like, this is a last ditch effort. We're going to try to see some family counseling. My mom works for a clinical psychologist, so I'm aware of how that works. And we just tried. We're like, this is it. This is the last thing we're going to do. We're going to try to seek some family counseling. And through that, my husband was diagnosed with having rapid cycling bipolar disorder.
Wow. And so what was your initial response to that?
I would like to say that my initial response was like, cool, that's great. We could do this. But it wasn't. I think it took me a little while to process what it was. I don't think I understood the seriousness right. of the diagnosis. But true to form, you know, I kind of, after kind of getting over the initial shock and the initial of like, okay, oh, this is a real disorder. This isn't just something people say. I dug in not only in my faith, but into what, you know, being bipolar means and how I can better serve my husband and serve my family by understanding and truly knowing what this disability is.
That's so good. That's so good.
So the first thing was we really dug into our faith. We got into the church. We surrounded ourselves by good Christian people. He started spending more and more time with men that were Christian men that came alongside him, that encouraged him. I dug into women's ministry and came like got women to come alongside me. It's so important that you have people that you can rely on and go to, especially when you're in a marriage and things aren't working.
Right.
It's important that you be able to talk to your spouse. It's important that you go to God, but it's also important that you have an outside kind of sounding board that can call it like they see it. Because sometimes when you're in the middle of things, it's hard to see.
Absolutely. And the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. And mm-hmm. and also the fact that we're made for community. We're not made to do this Christian life right. on our own. And so when we can link arms with brothers and sisters who have our best interest and can speak truth into our relationship, that's so good. That's so good.
Yeah, I was very blessed that I have I have family that is in the church. I have a brother that's a pastor. My sister-in-law is a first lady. You know, everybody I know goes to church with us. And so I was very blessed to be able to just have so many people that were willing to come alongside us in this journey. I think the most difficult thing was that as Christians in the Christian community, we don't really understand or we're not talking enough about or relating enough about what mental illness is as a Christian,
right?
Particularly in marriage, and how do we cope with that?
Yeah.
And you know, it's not the same as just everybody says, "Oh, well, just pray; it'll all get better."
Right.
And I think that was one of the hardest things that we had to deal with was that just pray about it, just give it to God.
You know, I think when people don't understand that's a common response. A few episodes back, I spoke to Jody Howe about anxiety and about the stigma that is on being anxious, and that people that don't have debilitating anxiety mm-hmm. cannot understand that it is a real thing and it causes physical as well as emotional problems. And just saying, oh, pray about it. Yes, we should pray about it.
Yes.
So I don't want to belittle that because we should pray about it.
Definitely.
But I'm glad that you dug into it and started to learn about it and started connecting with people to help you to process that.
Right. And I think that, you know, one of the biggest things that we have learned as a couple as a couple and our faith is that, like you said, I think sometimes other believers don't know what to say and don't know how to respond to the concept of mental illness. So they say, just pray about it. Or if you it'll go away. Or if you give it time. And I think people fail to understand that a mental illness is just like any other chronic illness. It's just right. like, you know, cancer or diabetes or a heart issue. And this is something that people are going to live with the rest of their lives. So it's important that that we recognize it as a church, particularly in our marriages. If you're married to it like I am, or if you're the person with a mental illness, and then what can we do from there? How do we handle this?
Yeah.
And how do we create a stable, God-centered life with this disorder?
Yeah.
And that's something we've really been focusing on in the last 4 or 5 years of our marriage.
Okay. So tell me what that looks like.
Well, one of the things that we've had to do is, one of the things that really struck me about Charity Bradshaw, I was listening to her podcast and she said that her role is like the thermometer or the gauge of the emotional sense of what's going on in the home. And that's my job in our house. It's my job to know and to feel and to sense what's going on with my marriage, with my husband. And so, for example, like when he started a new job or if there's projects going on at work and it's he's working these long hours, it's my job to understand that those kinds of things and those breaks in routine and those breaks can cause the rise in anxiety it's those kinds of things that can cause a rise in his anxiety level and affect the emotional stability of our household.
Right.
And so that means it's my job to start coming in and ahead of time and then behind and then beside and in all areas alongside him and seeing how I can better serve him to help reduce the stress.
Yeah.
And it may mean something as simple as, giving him a few hours to himself when he gets home. And that's really hard when you've got young kids or when, you know, you're like me and I'm a stay-at-home mom. I love when he comes home. It's another adult I get to talk to.
Right. Yeah.
So it may mean picking up the slack because it's not always 100%. Right. Sometimes it's, I'm going to do like 150 and you're going to do 50%. And it's the same way the other way around. There's times when I'm at my breaking point and I'm struggling and he comes in and saves the day and does the extra work.
Yeah.
So it's about knowing that and trying to make sure that I'm staying ahead and beside and behind and on all fronts, trying to anticipate what I can do.
You know, I can completely relate to that because I have a son with a severe illness, and part of his illness, he has severe OCD. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, understanding the situation that we're about to go in, if we're going somewhere, and being able to adjust. So it's that same sort of thing that I really have to be the thermometer for him as well. Yeah. And if I'm not, then a situation can escalate mm-hmm. or get out of hand. So I love your proactive approach of just being aware of your husband's mm-hmm. needs. But I think that's just, whether your spouse has a mental illness or not, I think that's just a good practice, for a healthy marriage.
Yeah. One of the other things that I think was really challenging for us as a couple, we're a lot alike in a lot of ways. We're both dominant. We're both, you know, more straightforward. I think that, but it was hard for us because as much as we loved each other, we didn't want to hurt one another's feelings. And so being honest and open was one of the hardest things that we had to learn how to do, and how to do it the right way, not just exploding on somebody and reacting on our emotions. So I think one of the great things that my husband is really good at is saying, I don't feel like myself right now. I feel a little off. Or have you noticed anything? Have I seemed different to you?
That's very good.
That's really hard as a man, I think,
as a person. It's a hard as a person to, a lot of people don't want to self-analyze. And
yeah.
So that's great.
And it's not easy having to say, yeah, you've been a little off, or here's some things that I've been noticing, because you love them. We say the people right. we love the most can hurt us the most. So you want to protect them. You want to guard them. And it's about knowing how to speak with the help of the Holy Spirit and just.
Because that seems like that might be a little bit of a tightrope that you have to walk.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to discourage them. But at the same time, you don't want things to get too far out mm-hmm. of control.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's about open and honest communication. And I think that is what has grown my faith the most, is relying on the Holy Spirit to help me to be sensitive to the emotional atmosphere in my home, not just with my husband, with my kids, with myself.
Yes.
And then also using the Holy Spirit to just guide me on when is the right time to speak and when is not the right time to speak. Because by nature, when things go wrong, I just want to respond and react, and I don't want to say the nicest of things. But I think that over the last few years, God has really grown in me and given me an ability to be quiet, be still,
wait,
and know when the right time is to speak.
Yeah. And that's hard. I mean, because our initial gut response is, you know, to say mm-hmm. something, but it's really good when we can stop and take our thoughts captive and just be still and really think about our response and what we're going to say.
Right. And so I think that's been one of the biggest things, is just being, being aware of the emotional atmosphere in the home, being honest and transparent enough with one another to say, okay, where are we at right now? Where are things emotionally right now? Because as quickly as things can spiral out of hand, it can also get into too much of a routine where we become just roommates, where we're not really paying attention to the marriage itself. We're just going through the motions of our day. And so it gives us an opportunity to check in on a regular basis and address the needs before they get out of control of one another. And then just trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and relying on God to say, okay, this is what you should say, or this is how you should say it, or no, don't say, like, I will work this out. You don't need to fight this battle, because that's the beautiful thing about marriage, is we don't constantly have to fight every single battle and every single moment.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is going before us and is constantly fighting for us. And that's not just in our lives, but that's in our marriage.
That's great. That's so right. Well, let me ask you this, you know, at your most difficult point, maybe after his diagnosis, or maybe it was before the diagnosis, how did the Lord sustain you, or how has the Lord seen you through? How has the Lord helped you in being married to someone who suffers from this diagnosis?
I think that the biggest thing, I would say that things haven't gotten easier. We've definitely had harder times since the diagnosis. I think that the Lord has sustained me in a way that he has grown my ability to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And he speaks to me through his word, through prayer, through worship, and he gives me insight and sensitivity. And because of that, I have been able to grow my faith and know and anticipate the needs of my husband. And being able, whereas before I was just all about, let's just be happy and everything should be perfect all the time. Now I know how to survive and to get through and to persevere and to overcome in those hard times. Whereas before it was, if things got bad, I either would shut down or we'd have a massive fight. Now it's okay. I can be still and I can wait and we can wait on God now. And that's how he sustained me. He's given me he's given me the ability to be patient.
Don't pray for that. I prayed for that and yeah, that was not a good idea, but no, I'm just kidding.
He's given me the ability to be still though. And that's good. I've learned that lesson. And I mean, I continually learn that lesson, but I think that's one of the biggest things God has done in me and through our marriage and through the difficulties.
Yeah.
It's just being still and knowing when to move.
Yeah. You know, the book of James talks all about suffering, and it is through the trials that we face in life that help conform us to the image of Christ. So I think that that is a beautiful picture that you just painted, that I think it's a beautiful picture that you just painted. It didn't get easier after the diagnosis. It's just like when we become Christians, our life isn't just going to be great. In fact, Jesus, one of the last things he said to the disciples was, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And in the book of James, it tells us that those trials make us more like Christ. And so they're painful at the time, but we're to count it joy. So I love the fact that you have learned to just be still and to know that God is God and that he is your strength and he is your refuge and he's going to help you through.
Absolutely. I couldn't do it without God.
Yeah.
I couldn't do marriage in general without God, much less anything else.
I don't understand how people do life without God, because this world is hard. And, but when we have God, we can exchange our troubles for his peace, his joy, all the gifts of the Spirit. Let me ask you this. Is there a particular Bible verse that you've really held on to that has helped to see you through?
Oh man, a particular, it's really hard to narrow it down to just one. I've got lists upon lists, and, I think for me, the one that I've held on to, and this has been kind of like my Bible verse for my life, not just for my marriage. And it's funny that how God, it's the same verse that you've seen over and over and over again, and he'll speak it to you in different ways.
Yeah.
In different aspects of your life. But I think for me, it's Revelations 22:13. I am the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end and the first and the last. And it reminds me that nothing is too big for God.
That's right.
Nothing's too challenging for God. There's nothing happening right now in your life that he didn't already know. and that he hasn't already gone ahead to make a way for.
That's right.
And so I think that gives me hope and peace in those moments of chaos, that even though I'm in the storm, I am going to endure, and God is going to get me through because he sees the bigger picture. And if it's not, I said this the other day to somebody, if it's not good, then God's not done.
Yeah.
Because he works all things out for his good.
That's right.
So I think that helps me remember that if it's not good, he's not done.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Let me close with this final question. Mm-hmm. What would you, if you could sit across from somebody today who is facing a similar diagnosis, or maybe it could even be a health crisis, but something where there's long suffering involved, what would you say to them to encourage them?
I think I would say to them that we are all images of Christ, and that we're not just images of Christ. We weren't just made in his image, but we're co-heirs with Christ, and we're joint heirs in the kingdom. And that means not just even the heavenly blessings, but here on earth, that we have the power that Christ has living within us.
That's right.
And that tells me that all of the things that Jesus did on earth, all of the things that he is, whether it was being a servant, whether it was showing love and grace and mercy, whether it is, being still and just praying. And sometimes that means praying alone, praying for myself. That just reminds me that, I have the ability within me, with Christ living in me, that I can do all of those things.
That's right.
And I can be all of those things. It's just about that that daily decision. And there's I think one of my favorite quotes that's not from the Bible is by a gentleman named Eric Fromm. And he talks about love. And he says, love is just a feeling. It comes and it goes. And he goes on to explain that it's about a decision to stay every single day and in every single moment. And it's not about this fleeting emotion. It's about choices. And we make that choice every day. Just as Christians, we are called to die to ourselves daily. That's the same thing that we're called to do in our marriage. Die to ourselves daily and choose to be in the marriage.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. In my Bible study, The Struggle is Real, I say it's a daily act of surrender, mm-hmm. pray, yes. and then repeat. Because, it's something we have to do every day.
Absolutely.
So, well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation today, and I know that it's going to bless many.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Phillip, and I would love to connect with you there.